We're going to read chapter number 2. We're going to read through it, and then we're going to go there and then see what... We're just going to preach through the kind of a highlight of the rest of the book and see what the Lord has for us. But we kind of... This morning, we kind of didn't get to where... How to get out of the belly of hell. We just found ourselves in the belly of hell. And but let's read chapter number 2, and then we'll see what the Word of God has for us. The Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the bar of the to the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of the thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Father, thank you again, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house this evening. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take us and use us tonight for your honor and your glory. I pray that the Word of God may have free course in the lives, God, of the listeners and, Lord, in their hearts. I pray, God, that my speaking and my preaching, Lord, I pray, God, be done in the demonstration of spirit and of power. God, give us Holy Ghost unction, God, to preach. God, give us wisdom, discernment. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice the prayer that Jonah prayed. And we talked this morning about the Jonah's position of how that he ended up in the belly of the whale or here, and how that the Lord had prepared that great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then notice in verse number 1, there's a prayer to be prayed. To get out of the belly of hell, number 1, there's a prayer to be prayed. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Understand this, the greatest privilege that as a believer that you and I have is to be able to pray to the God of heaven, to take our causes and our burdens and our cares on to Him, and that we have the Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. But just to think for just a moment that we have the great privilege to cry out unto the Lord and to pray to He whose face, the Bible says, the heavens and the earth fleet away, that out of His throne there sounds the voice of many waters. And man, can you imagine the fact, our mind can't wrap around the greatness and the holiness of God on His throne, but yet to think that someone as finite and as low down and as worthless as you and I have the privilege to call upon God in prayer. What a blessing that is. Never forget the privilege of prayer. So we see that Jonah prayed unto the Lord God out of his fish's belly. And he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." May I say, understand this, sometimes it's all right to cry. And understand this word cry means to cry loud, to accost. And we're going to look at this word another time. But he's cried by reason of his affliction of the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. So understand this, and when you find yourselves in a situation that you can't get out of, because understand, I don't know what it's like in the belly of a whale, but I can promise you it probably was not a real great environment. Amen? I mean, when you think about it, and when you read the story here, I mean, he says this. He said, "The waters compassed me about, the soul, the depths closed about me." He said, "The weeds were wrapped about my head." Man, he had seaweed, wrapped around his head. Man, can you imagine the smell and the stench that was in that whale's gut? Man, here you was inside of that thing, and I mean, and Jonah, he was the lowest of lows. I mean, he had found himself in an affliction. Yeah, it was because of his choice, but I want to remind you that even though our choices may bring afflictions in our life, that we as God's children, number one, have the privilege of prayer, and number two, there's a cry that we can cry that can be heard. Notice what he said. "I cried by reason of my affliction of the Lord, and he heard." Boy, aren't you glad you got a God that hears? Man, aren't you even glad you're not praying to some god of wood or stone or, you know, some statue? Or, I mean, man, aren't you glad? Man, the Bible says that he has ears that he can't, that he can hear. The Lord, behold, the Lord's arm's not short and that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. And man, aren't you glad that God hears your prayer? Sometimes we want to have just a little talk with Jesus, but I'm telling you, sometimes we got to have that sweet hour of prayer, and we got to cry aloud and unto God and get for God to hear us, because sometimes it takes us getting real serious with God. Sometimes our prayers are not serious, but I can promise you, you find yourself in the shape that Jonah had found himself in down in the belly of that whale, I promise you, yeah, I don't care if you wasn't a praying person before, you'd be a praying person now. Notice the Bible said there in verse 3, and I'm just laying some things out. We're going to get to it a little bit more in just a moment. But notice here he said, "For thou hast cast me into the deeps in the midst of the seas, and the floods cast me about. All thy billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight." Remember, it was Jonah that was fleeing. But here he says, "I've been cast out of thy sight." Understand this, you'll find yourselves in some situations in your life, and some of you may be going through that now as we've been through that fire, it seems, in our church, the fiery furnace trials of our faith as families, and it seems that every family in the church has faced some kind of fiery trial of faith, and sometimes we felt that God was removed from us. But understand this, even though Jonah had chosen to flee, and Jonah had chosen to run away from the Lord, Jonah had got to the point that he said, "Lord, I've just been cast out from your sight. I don't even know, Lord, that you know where I'm at." But may I remind you, the Bible said that God's eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. David said, "Oh, that I had wings of a dove and I'd fly away." And he said, "If I would go there to the depths of the sea, there, if I'd go to the grave," he said, "you're there. Lord, everywhere I go, Lord, I find that you're there." May I remind you, as a child of God, there's nowhere that you go in this life on this side of eternity, and understand, you don't have to worry about the other side of eternity, but there's nowhere that you go on this side of eternity that you can go where God's not already there. No matter if it's your choice, it's your decision, you cannot go where God's not at. Job said, I've been cast out. I mean, Jonah said, "I've been cast out of Esau." Job felt like that. Remember, Job said, "Oh, that I might find him, that I might come into his seat. Surely I would order my cause before him." He said, I'd debate God and I'd tell him, "Lord, why?" I'd ask him why. He said, "But I can't find God." And sometimes when you find yourselves in the lowest of lows, you'll find yourself there that God has turned his back and God has turned away from you. But I want to remind you and rest assured that God knows exactly where you are and what you're going through. You need not only to recognize your position, but you need to recognize God's power. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, "I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God." Recognize God's power. You understand it was the Lord's power that got Jonah to where he was, and it's the Lord's power that's got you where you are today. We're here in our life today because of the power of God. It's not within us. I mean, you think about it. You look back at all of your wisdom and all your knowledge and all the great choices that you made, and then you go back and you look back at all your foolishness and all the bad choices that you made. And then you weigh the difference, and yeah, I hope the goods outweighed the bad, but the fact of the matter is, if it was not for the power of God in my life and your life and the grace of God and the goodness of God in our life, where would we be today? Think about this. It was the power of God and God's touch and power in your life that took an old sinner like you and made you a saint, created you a new being, gave you a new life, gave you an eternal life in heaven. And beloved, it's not because of who you were and what you've done, but because of what God done for you. Job said, you brought me up out of corruption. He was remembering and recognizing God's power. But notice this, he had resolved all of his resources. Look at verse 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Have you ever noticed how that we don't ever go to God until we don't have nothing left? I mean, I don't know why we don't go to God first instead of last. But he said, my soul finally fainted within me. He said, when I had no more strength, I had no more desire to go on, when I didn't have any strength to pray, any strength to fight, he said, when my soul fainted, that means to be without life, to be without energy. He said, when it fainted within me, then I cried. I always wonder what happened if you and I would go to the Lord in prayer before our soul ever fainted within us. Before we ever reach the bottom. So often in our lives, we wait till we hit the very bottom. I'm talking about, remember Job here is praying. He said, out of the belly of hell I cried. I mean, he's talking about a place of the lowest of lows. We talked, and I'm not going to go back and preach that, but I want to remind you this morning how that Job paid the fare to go down. He just kept going down and down and down and down and down. And finally, he got to the lowest of lows in his life that he could not pull himself up in the world to say, pull yourselves up by your bootstrap, and the self-help gospel. A day will say, well, thank yourself happy. But I can promise you this, he could think all day long, he'd put on his boots, his swimming trunks, his life vest, and he couldn't get out of the belly of that whale without the help of God. Sometimes God allows us to and puts us in positions in our life that we got to pray. And he said, out of the belly of hell I cried. How to get out of the belly of hell. First of all, you need to realize there's a prayer to be prayed. You need to realize your position. You need to realize God's power. You need to, when you realize that you've resolved all your resources. But then look in verse number 7. And understand this. When you realize that you're at the lowest of lows. When you're so low. I mean, they say, you know, you've heard people say, well, man, I was so low. I was lower than the snake's belly. Jonah was lower than that because he was in the belly of the whale in the deeps of the ocean. He was down there. And I mean, he really thought that he was in hell on earth. I mean, could you imagine anything worse than being in that for 3 days and three nights? The darkness, the stench, the sloshing. Okay? I mean, my minds cannot even fathom it. But he says, when I got that low, then I remembered the Lord. Is that not what he said? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Why is it, as I said before, that we wait till the last to pray? And why is it we try? And let me just go ahead and throw this verse in there. That he remembered the Lord, but he realized everything else was all lies. Why is it that you and I, as God's children, we wait till we get to the lowest of lows? We wait till we try. We're just like those men. Remember, those men, they rowed hard to bring it to shore. Y'all remember that? Jonah said, you need to throw me over the boat. And they said, hey, we can't throw you over the boat. And the Bible says, and they rowed hard to bring it to shore. They thought, man, we'll just row hard and we'll just get there. We'll get there. Push yourself. Try harder. Try harder. Try harder. Wake up. Push yourself. Do harder. Row more. You need to work more. You need to do more. You need to do this. You need to just push yourself harder. Jonah here, he'd exhausted all of his resources. And then he remembered the Lord. Why is it that we listen to everything else? Because in the next verse he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Why is it that we listen to everything else, whether it be some lie we've heard the enemy tell us, or whether it be something we've heard on TV, or something we heard in our education, or something from wherever it may come from, a book that we've read, and understand there may be a little bit of truth in it, but there's a lot of lying vanities in it. And we think, okay, well, I can do it that way, or I can do it this way, or I can do that, or I can carry it. And understand, I thank God for my Southern Appalachian heritage, and I thank God for that. And I was raised to be a man's man. I am, and I'm thankful for that. I mean that. And I was taught, you know, you fight till you can't fight no more, and you push till you can't push no more. You don't give up. You don't quit. And I'm thankful for that. But understand this, sometimes we do that in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual life, when if we would have fainted and we'd have surrendered a long time ago, we might not have found ourselves in the belly of the whale. Yeah, you ain't just getting it been easier. I mean, all Jonah had to do was get on the boat and go to Nineveh. But he fled and went to Tarshish. And all because of that one choice decision he's made, he's found himself. He's took the lives and he's endangered the lives of these men, of these mariners. He's caused somebody to lose their goods that was going to be shipped down to Joppa, because he understand they throwed somebody's wares off that vessel. So understand this, the choices and decisions we make in our life don't only affect us, it affects others that we come in contact to, and some people we don't even know. But here, Jonah was doing his best to run away from God. But he realized that everything that had been in his heart and in his mind that was pushing him away from God, he realized it was all lies. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I wonder just how many mercies of God we've forsaken in our life. Not only that, notice this. He recommitted to his purpose. He said this. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He said, I've made a vow. And he said, I'll keep it. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Remember, we started out this thing that God's got a purpose for every man. Jonah right here recommitted to his purpose. He realized that God had a purpose for him that was greater than anything he could do or dream about. And he recommitted to that purpose in his life. He said, I have vowed a vow. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep it. And notice what happened after Jonah had fainted within himself. He got to the bottom. Notice what had happened when he realized that everything that he'd been listening to in his life was lies. He repented of where he was, because he said this. He said, then I said, I'm cast out. I will look again toward thy holy temple. There was the repentance. There's where he turned his direction from looking at everything this way. And he said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. He repented of where he was and the choices and the decisions that he made. He said, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, but I'm ready to do business with you. And the very moment that this man repented of his ways, requested God for help, realized he'd been listening to lies, what happened? The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Didn't spit him out. It vomited him out. Now, there's a difference there. Okay? I'll never forget, we was at Wahoo, and understand this, God bless you, I will do anything in the church for y'all. Okay? Y'all know that. I don't care what it is. All right? But Brother Green, if you throw up right there, I promise you, somebody else going to have to do it, because if I start right there, you know what? Me and you both going to be doing it. I can't handle it. I mean, I said I was a man's man. If you call me a sissy, that's all right. I can't handle it. Ask my wife. She cleaned up every bit of it. I can't. But I'll never forget when we was associate pastor out at Wahoo, and Brother Miss Amy just had Carter, and Carter had stomach issues. Bless his heart. I guess it's from allergies all his life. And that young man had projectile vomiting. And I mean, we're not talking about, it was like, and I mean, it would go 4 feet. I mean, just everywhere. And it was a regular occurrence, wasn't it? I mean, that child, he could just be playing and all of a sudden it just, and that's what I think about when I think about this fish vomiting Jonah up on dry ground. He didn't walk up there and just spit him out. I mean, everything that was in his gut. I mean, I believe he's probably 300 yards from shore. He vomited him out on dry ground. But notice when this happened. It was after all these other things that Jonah dealt with him personally. Are you listening to me? There was nobody else in the belly of that whale but Jonah. And when Jonah got to dealing with Jonah, and he wasn't thinking about the Ninevites, and he wasn't thinking about the mariners, and he wasn't making an excuse about nobody else, and there was nobody else in that whale to blame, to accuse, he dealt with himself. And when he dealt with himself, God changed his position and changed his perspective. Okay? And the fish vomited him up on dry ground, right where he needed to be. I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. Here's a man that God could have made preach the gospel to the people of Nineveh because God in his sovereignty made this whale carry this man and keep him alive for 3 days and three nights and spit him up on dry ground. Remember, God prepared the whale just like he prepared the storm. And this whole book's about the sovereignty of God as we look through Romans chapter 8 about the sovereignty of God. And don't let the sovereignty of God scare you. But God could have done that to Jonah, but God chose not to. God gave Jonah a choice, and Jonah's choices landed him in the belly of the whale. But when Jonah made the right choice, God put him right back to where God wanted him to start. All right, now get this. Notice the preaching he done. The Bible said this of Jonah, verse number one, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. There was no question now. Amen? He didn't flee this time. He's like, man, I ain't going back through that again. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, just don't put me back in the belly of that whale. There's been some things in my life, God's got my attention, and I've said before, there's not enough money in this world to pay me to go through it again, but there's not enough money in this world to pay for the experience that God gave me through it. And this was one of those things in Jonah's life. And he arose and he went, and according to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means it took 3 days of travel from one side to the other. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Notice the preaching that he done. Notice what the Bible said. Look in verse number 2. Arise and go to Nineveh and that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It was an 8-word message. What does it say? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. May I say unto you, it accomplished what it set out to do. The Bible says there that Jonah, look at what the Bible said. He went in and he cried and said. That word cried there means to accost, to call out as to offend. Understand this. The importance of the preaching of God's Word and the results that preaching brings into the life of people. God chose to use preaching. He chose it then, and God chooses to use preaching now. Remember that. It was preaching that had to be done. It will accomplish, this eight-word message accomplished what it set out to do, because it was the message and that God told Jonah to preach. The Bible says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." May I say unto you, what this world needs today is more Bible preaching. That's what it needs. It's preaching that's made a difference. Remember, John the Baptist came there and preached in the wilderness, and he was clothed with, he ate locusts and wild honey, and he was clothed there with a leathern girdle and a camel hair. And understand this, the crowd went to him. He was preaching in the wilderness, and the crowd went to him. As I preached about the birth of our nation and how that everything that God does, He births, and how that through the Great Awakening, God birthed the United States of America. And as those great evangelists there in those days preached the Word of God, and man, they was preaching to 5,000 and 10,000 people at a time. And they're out in the fields. Understand, it was the preaching of the Word of God that will change men and women's hearts and lives. It's preaching. The Bible said this. Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel." The Bible says also, "Preaching on the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." John the Baptist came preaching. Jesus came preaching. The Bible said this, and when it was day, Luke chapter 4, verse 42, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And the next verse says, "And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Peter preached. Paul preached. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. The difference in preaching is teaching. Preaching demands a response. Teaching is for education. Drama's for entertainment. Singing's for encouragement. But preaching demands a response. The preaching, and notice this. Notice this. Listen to me. This is how important preaching the Word of God is. The preaching of the Word of God was effective with the man of God that was preaching it having a bad attitude. You say, "Well, I thought he just got right." Well, he did. But he didn't stay right. He still hated Nineveh. And he crawled up there on the city after he preached his message and built him a tent and waited for the destruction to come. So I want to say this to you. It's not, and understand this, the man of God and a preacher ought to preach with the right attitude, ought to preach with compassion, ought to preach with patience, long-suffering, gentleness, good. He ought to preach to help and not hurt. I'm honest. It's not an axe to grind. It's not to fleece the sheep. It's not to dehorn the goats. It's to preach the Word of God to help people. Now, you know me. I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to do my best to preach it straight and preach it right, and I ain't going to back up. Amen. But understand this. The preaching of the Word of God, it's about the Word that's being preached and not about the man that's preaching it. Okay? And it was the preaching of the Word of God. An eight-word message. 8 words, yet 40 days and none of us shall be overthrown. That was the whole message. But it was the message that God wanted preached in that hour. My heart's desire for your pastor is this, is that every time that I'm out that pulpit, that I believe, Brother Green, with all my heart, God has a message for the hour for the people.
Amen.
That's right. I believe that God has a plan for the service. Not my plan, and I believe it's my responsibility as a pastor to find the plan of God for the service and to find the message that God wants for the service. Yes, I preach series, I preach through books at times, but you also know I've come in here and I've been preaching things and God changed the direction, and I'm just, why? Because sometimes, We just still get our own mindset into this thing. And I believe God's got a message for every service, because there's people in that service that needs to hear from God. And it's my responsibility as a pastor and a preacher, not that you hear from me, but that you hear from God. Because it's God's message. But Jonah, he preached that message and Nineveh repented. I mean, even the king repented. Notice what the Bible said. Verse number 6, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. And verse number 5, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloths and cry mildly unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? He called for a fast. He called for a fast. Understand, it was in the Civil War that General Robert E. Lee called for a fast because of the situation that was happening there in the troops and in the war. And he called for a fast that day, and he called for it on a Sunday, and they fasted for 7 days. And at the end of that fast, I'm talking about those for the Sunday, I believe it was Sunday and a Monday, that not all the Confederate troops had to fast. But you know what happened through that fast? You don't read this in your history book. 15,000 Confederate soldiers got born again because of that fast within a month. You don't know what bring our nation, revival to our nation? Fasting and praying. But he called for a fast and he said, don't let the beast eat, don't let man eat, don't let nothing. Let's see what God, if God will show mercy upon us. Look at verse number 10. And God saw the works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. But notice this preacher. Notice this preacher. We see the prayer that he prayed. We see the preaching that he done. But notice the pity party that this preacher had. So, well, I ain't never had a pity party. Well, I've got this wrote down in my notes. Some people never learn. And sometimes I think I'm that some people. But some people never learn. This man had just spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. Okay? Cried unto God. I mean, got right with the Lord. Okay? He did. God spit him out on the ground. He went and carried out the will of God. And then we find himself sitting on the side of the hill with a bad attitude. Having a pity party. Look at what the Bible says. Verse number 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Man, I tell you what. When I preach, And I don't base my preaching, I learned that a long time ago, but I don't base my preaching on the response of the altar. Okay? Because if I did, I'd quit. Not that people don't respond, but understand this, I don't base it on your response to my preaching. Jonah preached, and these people responded. And when he responded, when they responded, he got mad. He didn't want them to respond. He wanted God to kill them. Exactly. So understand, his attitude was wrong. But then we see here, it made him mad. Then it displeased him and he was angry. Notice what it said. It displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now, I mean, here he's telling God, he said, I know, David, this was going to happen if I went down here and preached. Lord, I know you're gracious and mercy. And Lord, I know that you're a great God. But Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this. But see, now remember, oh, how often or how soon we forget what God's done for us. Because it was just a few days ago that they that observe my lie and vanities forsake their own mercies. It was just a few days ago as I remember the Lord and His goodness in my life. But here this man is mad because God's not destroying a group of ungodly people. Understand this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are, listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees was mad at Jesus for eating with publicans and sinners and changing their life. And if you and I have an attitude that when somebody else is getting right or somebody else is getting help, and we have something bad to say about it, we're either like Jonah or a Pharisee and a Sadducee. Something's wrong with us. But Jonah here was displeased with what God was doing. And you and I need to understand, okay? We need to understand that we don't have dibs on God's mercy and God's grace. Sometimes as we go through trials and tribulations, and sometimes we face things in our lives, and we sing that song, then do we wonder why there's prosper living so wicked year after year? Father alone will know all. Well, why is God blessing them? Why is God doing that? Why is God doing this? We're no different than Jonah was. We're thinking, okay, I've got dibs on, we've got dibs on God's mercy. Understand this. God can do whatever He wants to, and God can show grace to who He wants to, and show mercy to who He wants. And He don't have to ask mine and your permission every time. But Jonah here said, Lord, I know this was going to happen. Lord, I know that you were going to be gracious. I know that you were going to be merciful. You know, the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just people. And I thought about this. I thought about when I was young and sitting in church, you know, and God, the invitation, whether it be in a revival or a Sunday morning service or whatever, and you sit in church and the invitation is just seems to be being prolonged. And somebody go to the altar, you know, after the fifth verse of the fifth song. And you're like, oh, God. Now, y'all ain't never been like yet. I'm just saying the preacher was, okay? Those people were going to get help, and I had a bad attitude about it. Now, we'll sit here and we'll accuse Jonah and call him wicked and everything, say that he was wrong all day long. But if we're not careful, we'll be just like him if things are not going to our time frame in the way we think God wants to work, well, to work. And he was angry. And he was mad at God. And he wanted Nineveh so bad to be destroyed that he went up there on the side of the hill and he had built him a tent. Look at what the Bible said. Oh, let me bring this. Let me show you this, and let's get here right here. Let's look at verse 4. Notice what God said to him. Dost thou well to be angry? That's a question we ought to put in our memory bank account and keep there. God looked at Jonah and he said, how's that anger doing, son? You doing good with that? Is it doing you good? Well, you're getting some great benefits from that, ain't you? Dost thou well to be angry? That accomplishing some great feats for you, ain't it? We ought to put that question in the back of our mind and store it there. And the next time we get angry, ask the Holy Ghost of God to always bring it to the forefront of our mind and let God say, well, how's that anger going for you? He said, dost thou well to be angry? Notice here, verse number 5, he went and built him a tent. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. He went over there and built him a tent, and he said, all right, I'm going to sit here and watch. Remember, his message was 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So he was waiting for that time frame. Okay? I never understood that till today. Why was he waiting on the outside of the city? But remember, he came in preaching and said 40 days. So he was sitting up there waiting for the 40 days to come. And then notice here, and it amazes me, the providential hand of God. Look in verse number 6, and the pity that the Lord has on somebody with a bad attitude. And thank God for the pity that the Lord has had on me in my life when I've had a bad attitude. But the Bible said, but the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. God didn't have to do that for Jonah. Y'all get that? The Bible said the Lord prepared it to grow up to deliver Jonah from his grief. God was showing mercy to this preacher that had a bad attitude. But yet God in His mercy and His grace was showing Him mercy and said, even though he's got a bad attitude, even though he's wrong, even though he's wanting the wicked destroyed, I still got pity on him. I thought about this as I was reading that this afternoon or this morning. Thank God when I act like a fool, the Lord still cares about me. How many think about that? How many times in your life have we acted foolish like this and God has blessed us and done something for us, prepared something for us, them handfuls on purpose? We're not like Ruth over there in the fields of gleaning, doing our part, being a faithful steward. But most of the time we're over there like Jonah with a bad attitude and God does something for us anyway. Amen. Just because He wants to show us His mercy and His grace in our life and have pity on us. But He had pity on Jonah. But then notice this. What happened next? The Bible said, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered away. God prepared a worm. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. I've never met a man in the Word of God that wanted to die as bad as Jonah did. I mean, every time you turn around, Jonah's trying to die. Wishing he'd die. But understand this, God prepared that worm, that gourd, and showed him mercy and grace. But it still didn't change his heart. So God said, okay, I prepare a worm. So God sent a worm. You ever had a good day and it seemed like everything is just, I mean, you've been through, going through struggles in life, and I'm not saying this is cut and dry, okay? But it seems like everything's going through life and all of a sudden God just drops a handful of purpose on your lap. You're like, oh, man, praise the Lord, today's everything's changing. And then you wake up tomorrow and everything falls apart again. Maybe because you didn't change your attitude yesterday. Amen. God may have prepared a worm to grow up and eat that gourd and wither it away. God said, I tried to show you mercy and grace yesterday. I was blessing you, but your heart didn't change. Your mind didn't change. There wasn't nothing changed about you. So I'm going to send the worm. And God prepared that worm. And that worm went out and killed that vine. And that thing wielded away. And then, if that wasn't enough, God said, okay, I'll turn the heat up on you. I mean, is that not what it said? He said God sent a wind with vehement east wind that was hot, and the sun beat upon his head. And he fainted and wished himself to die. Understand this in this book. The Bible said this, Brother Green. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We like that verse that gives us hope. And when that verse is taken in context of Scripture, that doesn't mean what's prepared for us in heaven. He's talking about earthly things. okay? But I compare that to this scripture and the things that the Lord had prepared for Jonah. And I just wonder, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The good things. Here's the alternative to that. And I wonder which life that I live because of my choosing. Am I living over here in the good things that God hath prepared for me? Or do I make bad choices, and because of my bad choices, God's having to prepare a storm? Because the Bible says God prepared a storm or sent a storm. Then God prepared a whale. Then God prepared a gourd. Then God prepared a worm. Then God prepared a wind. All trying to get some man's attention. And I just wonder, which preparation am I living in? Which preparation do you want to live in? I understand I don't want to live in over here and this preparing all the time. God's trying to get my attention, change my directions, change my heart, change my mind, change me. I want to live over here and be able to enjoy the things that God has prepared for me. Amen. It's our choice. And you can either live in obedience, receiving the Word of God as the Ninevites did. Because understand the difference. Jonah rejected it, but the Ninevites received it. And they received it in faith, believing that God would do what they said. And they said, well, let's just pray and see if God would change. And you and I make a choice every day of our life whether we will receive the things of God or reject the things of God. It doesn't change the fact of whether or not we're saved, but it does change the fact of what God has prepared for us. And I want to live in that life of the things that God hath prepared for me that I have not seen, ear hath not heard, and neither hath entered into the heart of man those things. I don't want to live in the belly of a whale. I don't want a prepared gourd, have a prepared worm, and then a prepared wind. Notice this, and I'm closed. Then the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? That didn't mean that they were idiots. What it meant there, there was that many children in the land. 60,000, to my understanding, that's 120,000 kids. And then he said this, and also much cattle. Don't be a Jonah. Be a Joshua. If you found yourselves in the belly of the whale, if you found yourselves in the belly of hell, as he said, if you found yourself trying to drown your sorrow in your sorrows and God won't let you die, maybe you need to get down to business with God. Maybe you need to change your perspective. I'm not saying life's easy. Life's hard. Endure hardness is a good shoulder. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It's hard. It's not easy. The fact of the matter is, He is faithful. Amen. He's faithful. We're standing all over the house. I want my seven to come to the piano if she would. I don't know.